You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host today. Kelvin, that was weird to say. That's Kelvin Butenhoff on the boards right there. Kelvin, how are you doing today? He's putting his cans on. There we go.
You know, I'm doing pretty well, Greg. It's a little weird.
It is. But it is weird. If you're wondering, is Jane on vacation again? No, Jane is not. Well, she's on vacation. She is on a retirement vacation. Last Friday was her last day on the show, but I am your interim host, your sit-in host. I'm the guy in charge of the big chair right now, and we will be keeping the flow of the show going today. Very excited to have you here today. We have a wonderful, very packed show. Very much going to miss our beloved Jane Matinair, but she is probably listening to us right now and smiling, and we want to just once again wish her happy retirement, and she did a great job, and we're going to miss her very, very much. For our first show, we have a very stacked lineup of guests. We're going to be talking to Katie Goodwin from MKE Grocery Buddy Organization in the 10 o'clock hour, and we're also going to be speaking with two business owners who are going to give us ideas on what to be giving for Christmas. One is going to be the owner of Whimsy and Wonder Toys based in Wausau, and the owner of the art and thrift store Collect and Gather based out of Plover. Both will be joining us this morning, so you want to stick around for that. And we want to get ideas from you on what you're going to be giving this holiday season. Are you going to be giving, you know, the regular gifts, gift cards, a nice bag of cash, maybe just a pat on the shoulder and say, good luck in 2026? But we want to hear from you, and you can get in touch with us by calling in or texting. And the number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can call or text. You can also drop a comment on the live stream. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still in this house call Twitter. So please let us know your thoughts and feel free to contact us with any questions you may have throughout the day too for our guests. And we just want to hear from you. Want to know what's going on? I don't know how your weekend went, Calvin. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good, you know.
It was pretty good.
too short, like always.
Yeah, it's always too short. Well, the show is going to be moving along real quick here. And as I said before, we have a stacked line of guests. And I want to get right into our first guest. He is Blaine Halverson. He is from a group called Stop the Menominee Data Center Group. They are on Facebook right now with thousands of members. They organized a recent protest on December the 2nd, located in Menominee, which is located in Dunn County here in Wisconsin, to talk about their concerns, to protest their concerns on the data centers that are kind of taking over their community, the state, and the country. One more transparency, more discussion on it before they just come in and do their thing. Blaine is one of thousands of individuals fighting to stop data center projects in the Menominee and Western Wisconsin, and is part of a new rapidly growing team of collaborating people statewide to stop further data center development. Without any further ado, let's bring Blaine onto the show. Blaine, how are you doing this morning? Welcome to Matinair on Air. I gave you a nice lengthy description. I gave everyone an idea of what you are doing. And I just want to know, first of all, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. The sun is shining. When you get the sun shining in the winter, that's a great thing.
Yes, it is. Now, data centers, kind of the whole concept of it really became one of the biggest conversation points in Wisconsin in 2025. We weren't really talking about it a lot last year. And this year, that subject matter has really, really exploded. And can you tell us more about your group and what they seek to achieve with you just had a protest earlier this month. What do you seek to achieve with the protest, with what your group's trying to do with regard to let's start with Menominee and then we'll move our way out of Wisconsin. But what are you doing with them? I think Blaine froze at the first question, everybody. Blaine, can you hear us? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties there right now, but we're going to be working on getting Blaine back. Calvin, if you want to give him the phone number, if he can call, that'd be great. Blaine, if you can hear me, call us 85. Oh, Blaine, there you are. You hear us?
Yeah, I have it. And I have the number already in my phone, so okay. If I need it, I will.
Okay, great. So, yeah, just give us an overview about the group that you are a part of and what they seek to achieve in Menominee with regard to data centers.
We are simply just trying to stop a data center development here. Mm-hmm. at this point because the process that was followed was not transparent. Mm-hmm. It didn't really take a lot into consideration. And there are a lot of factors that I think our leaders are recognizing now that they weren't prepared for, that enter into this discussion that weren't covered. So I'm trying to stop this data center specifically, mm-hmm. and trying to convince or work with the city council to create more rules about transparency, mm-hmm. And how they function, and also help them to create a more solid zoning code, building code that helps to give the city some of its power back when they're trying to negotiate any kind of development.
Well, and that's what I saw. You know, there was an article earlier this year in Menominee saying that the mayor actually, after the council had approved a data center, the mayor actually said, no, thank you. We're putting this on hold, because it seems like that is what is happening, is businesses are coming in saying, we'll take the land, we'll put the business in, it'll be great for you. And city councils and local leaders can say, oh, that's great. And then after it's done, they'll say, oh, what did we commit to exactly? And it seems like Mayor, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Mayor Knack. Knack. My apologies to Mayor Knack. But Mayor Knack actually kind of looked at the paperwork and said, well, let's put a hold on this. And it seems like that's where it's at right now in Menominee. Am I correct?
Well, how it came about, let me just clarify how it came about. Yeah. First of all, the city council didn't know even about this until last March.
Okay.
It had been kept a secret from them for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so they were made aware in March. They were given very little information and didn't have a lot of decisions to make. But then when it came down to August, there was the developer and the landowners petitioned the city to be annexed, mm-hmm. because it's from a bordering township, and then to receive a new zone. So what the council did was vote to annex the property.
Okay.
And then they, in the same meeting, they voted to rezone it. On the zoning application, it talked about for the purpose of building a data center. So it doesn't legally obligate directly.
Yeah.
But there are risks involved, mm-hmm. for sure, once you zone it that way and someone buys the property. So I think the mayor and I think everyone in the city was really surprised by the level of pushback and how fast it developed and gained momentum.
Well,
and I think that's what caused him to stop and say, okay, we need to slow down.
And I think that's something that
we're appreciative for.
Yeah. And then when that's something we're seeing more from other communities too, we're seeing other communities in Wisconsin pushing back and going to meetings and saying, I mean, in Caledonia, I think like last month or 2 months ago, they just mm-hmm. full on stopped a project from happening because the people are becoming aware of what's going on. And you had a protest on December the 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. December 2nd?
Yes.
Yes. Tell us more about like what went into that? What was going on? How was the energy there from the people involved and those? I mean, it's a cold month, so we didn't, you know, some people weren't able to, I'm sure, but what was the energy you were feeling from the people who were taking part?
Oh, they were just so happy to be involved in doing something. And because the fact of the matter is, even though it's a small town, mm-hmm. There's still people who aren't really aware of what's happening with the data center. So being out on a major road in what was about 12 to 14 degrees, I think, that day, and breezy.
Yeah.
It was a sacrifice, but there was a warmth that came to it. There was a camaraderie that came to it. And part of the camaraderie was, too, that it was part of an organized statewide day of action and protests among all of the communities that are dealing with data center development. And there was a large group in Milwaukee protesting the data center lobby group that mm-hmm. was having their meeting there. So,
and that's something we've talked about a lot on the show here in the past few months, as we become more and more aware of data centers and just exactly the process that they're going through to get them done and done very quickly. And with mm-hmm. help to, you know, in their perfect world, very quietly. So they're just there, and that's how it is across the country. You know, how did you connect? How are you connecting? You just said Milwaukee. How are you connecting with other groups and individuals throughout Wisconsin on what's trying to be done, as well as people kind of waking up to what's happening with these data centers? Kind of, you know, in some instances, popping up in communities on tons of land, and they're like, "Where is this? What's happening here?
What's happening?" Yeah. Well, as far as the connection, there was a signal chat group that was started by a couple of action organizations mm-hmm. that started inviting people. And myself and a couple others from Menominee got into the mix there in sometime in October, I think. And at that point, I think we were like the 12th and 13th ones to join this group.
Yeah.
And now there's 38 of us. And we actually had a statewide organizational Zoom call a few weeks ago with about 300 people registered from around the state. So that's how that's picking up steam. Yeah. And the thing about it is once everyone compares notes, you see how, I don't mean this in the traditional sense of the word, but I guess conspiratorial the whole process becomes.
Yeah, understood.
You know, that there's a plan, there's a playbook. Mm-hmm. They come in and they tell the city, they tell the township, they tell the village, hey, you need to keep this quiet. You're going to get a lot of pushback. We can help you with that. And then kind of move it along, you know?
Well, and that's the thing too, is, I mean, one of the, you know, if you're just joining us, we were speaking to Blaine Halverson, who's an organizer for Stop the Menominee Data Center Group. And we're talking about the work they're doing in their community to stop a data center project from coming in. And that's the thing too, is they don't really lead with all of the good stuff, because there isn't a lot to brag to the community for, you know, how it impacts positively on the community. And, you know, it's not a job thing, because it doesn't take a lot of jobs to run a data center. It's a tremendous, tremendous take on a natural resources, specifically water, and as well as it can have impacts on, you know, local individuals. Their energy bills can go up as well because of that. So there's a reason why they want you to be quiet.
Yeah. Well, and there's a plan. And the plan is they're targeting communities who are kind of stable, low growth, mm-hmm. or stagnant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who are struggling to find development, who are struggling to keep up with inflation with their budgets every year without raising taxes. Mm-hmm. And you can't really raise your taxes without developing, because your whole tax levy grows based on net new construction every year.
Yeah.
So, and they're looking especially too for towns, for communities that have codes that are vulnerable,
yeah,
that make it easier for them to come in and just kind of have their way. And the state didn't help, because the state basically, it's like, it's Christmas time, right? Holidays. Mm-hmm. You host a holiday at your house,
yeah,
and people show up early.
Yeah.
Right? So basically what happened in the state of Wisconsin is it's like your guests showing up an hour early, mm-hmm. for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. And nobody's dressed, but some idiot lets everybody in. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened. It's like they're here and
yeah,
it's open season.
Well, we're going to keep this conversation with Blaine Halverson going on the other side of the break. So we're going to keep talking about data centers. If that's affecting you right now in your community, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you have any questions, let us know. Please pass them along to us via the text line. But once again, we're going to be talking to Blaine Halverson on the other side of the break. Stick close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. I am your friend. I'm your buddy. We're here having a great show. And for those, just as a reminder, don't know if they're like, where's Jane? Jane has retired and I am taking over, and we are going to have a great time going forth the rest of the year. And we are having a great discussion with Blaine Halverson, who is an organizer from Stop the Menominee Data Center Group. They are working to keep a data center project from happening in Menominee, which is located in Dunn County here in Wisconsin. We're seeing a lot more of these discussions happening throughout the state. And Blaine, unfortunately, I mean, however you want to look at it, data centers are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. There are thousands of them located throughout America. And companies, I mean, I was reading an article on Wired that said that two companies alone are committed to investing $2 trillion, trillion with a T as in T, $2 trillion in infrastructure that includes data centers. And that can seem daunting, that can seem overwhelming to the point where people can say, what am I going to do? How can I do anything? And we're seeing folks, regular folks from communities all over this state, standing up and speaking their voices and being heard by their community leaders, as you're seeing right now with regard to Menominee. What do you say to folks who say, well, what can I do?
Oh, there's a lot you can do. I mean, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to make sure you're engaged in local politics. Mm-hmm. You know, national politics has been kind of dismaying for a while for a lot of people.
Yes.
On the entire, across the entire spectrum. But local politics at this level doesn't have to be partisan. Like, yeah, our group is not remotely partisan. Mm-hmm. I'm working side by side with people who would never hit the same levers as I do in November. It just wouldn't.
And
that's really a positive thing for the community.
I think that's the thing that I always want to get across to people, is that what we want to talk about here are issues that, you know, we can go to one side of the room or the other side of the room and yell and scream and whatnot. But these are the issues, yeah, that directly affect everyone in the communities. Absolutely has nothing to do with who you voted for. Because what we need to do is make sure that these community leaders understand our voices, and we need to stand up and speak. And as you said, yeah, Blaine, it's going to those meetings, it's reading those notes. They publish those meetings ahead of time. You can read what's on the agenda. And if you see something, yeah, you say something. And in this case, you know, and you said, Blaine, you're seeing this sort of opinion coming out all over the state. What are you hearing from people? Are there any things that we should keep an eye out for as far as, you know, community members in our communities? What are you hearing from people from all over Wisconsin?
About how to be watchful about data centers specifically?
Or just the attitude towards them alone too, and what people are saying. I mean, I feel like we're hearing just a lot of this. We're hearing a lot of agreement of what you're talking about as far as, you know, this isn't good for the community. What is it going to do for us? I mean, yeah, and people are waking up.
Well, I think there's a level of panic for some people because, I mean, I think at the core nature, most of us understand when you talk about the scale of these places, mm-hmm, that this scale, you're permanently changing and reshaping an entire community permanently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by permanent, I mean for the people who live there now, for the rest of their lives, it won't be the same. It, mm-hmm, won't have the same vibe. It won't have the same feel. It will affect all of the development that could come in that's natural and normal for that community while this data center is going in. And it might prevent other development from being able to come in because of the amount of land it takes up and its footprint and everything that goes with that. There's just people are concerned about water. Mm-hmm. People recognize that as we're moving forward here, clean water is already a resource that's very valuable throughout the world. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin, we're the only state that borders two Great Lakes. Like, Wisconsin is prime for this, and having people come in and turning our water utilities over to them, in a sense, giving them free rein in them, is really a dangerous proposition. Plus, if you think about it, this has the potential to be one of the greatest redistributions of wealth from rural people,
yeah,
to multi-trillion-dollar corporations ever. Because let's say they build these data centers, and then 15 years they're all shut down. Mm-hmm. Because of changes in technology or whatever, that still means that these major tech giants own those thousands of acres of land that they got, you know, and they have the water rights to those. So it's bigger than a business that's inconvenient.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, you know, this is a conversation that's going to keep on going, is the fact that we need to demand, I think, one of the most important things demand from the communities is transparency from these companies. It can't just be walking in saying, we've got a great proposition for you, don't tell anybody. No, you need to tell us, right, everything. And we need our village boards, our county boards, our community, our city councils, whatever it is, those local leaders to stand on our side to get a deal, to get something that's not going to steal our water, to make our utility bills go skyrocketing. And as you said, if they walk out one day and say, well, we're done, We can do this smaller, better somewhere else. Well, then, you know, what is the community left with? And that's the bigger problem too. So it's all about transparency, Blaine. I see. I feel like that's right. One of the major things you need to demand. So, I mean, that's
well, even not and not just transparency, but like actually giving the people a voice. Mm-hmm. Like once this comes out, you still see these communities kind of trying to silence the people who are speaking up,
yeah,
or tolerating them, but completely dismissing what they say. You see meetings in Port Washington. We saw them in here in Menominee. We see them all over where you have dozens of citizens speak forcefully and with truth. And it's just like, okay, yawn.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at your phone. Blaine Halverson is from the Stop the Menominee Data Center Group. We're going to put your information into our show notes today so people can check you out and keep up to date. And folks, if you're going through the same thing, let us know. But Blaine, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to Lee Claremont from Whimsy and Wonder Toys up in Wausau. So don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your guy, your friend here throughout the morning till 11 a.m. And we're happy that you're joining us. You can get in touch with us anytime you'd like by simply calling or texting. That number is the same. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, which is on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we in this house still call Twitter. Very, very happy to have Blaine Halverson on the show today talking about data centers and what you can do to make your voice heard to your local leaders and to businesses who are trying to come into the community. Had a great comment from Jenny. It says, a Caledonia resident will be one of the guests at a panel discussion on data centers she's attending next week. And that's great. It's wonderful to get yourself educated on those topics. Again, we are going to put all of that information into our show notes so you know where you can go to find out more about how these projects are going to be coming in and affecting you and the members of your community. But we're going to turn the topics now to a matter of gift giving. Calvin, it is almost Christmas, so I'm sure you have all of your Christmas shopping done, correct? Your Christmas shopping is all finished and done and things are
No,
nothing of that?
No, I have not done any Christmas shopping. I'm not sure that I will. I'm not big on giving gifts. Maybe I'll get some gift cards.
Okay, well, there you go. See, that's still the gift. That's the gift of freedom. You allow them to buy what they want. Well, if you are interested in shopping local, which is something we always, always encourage here at the show, at the network, we want to make sure you put those dollars back in the community. And if you live up near the Wausau area, you can go to a place called Whimsy and Wonder Toys, which just recently opened last month on the 7th of November. They are a store that specializes in eco-friendly toys. And we have the owner, Lee Claremont, on the show. Lee, thank you so much for being on Matt and Air on Air. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, thank you, and thank you for having us. I'm one of the owners. My wife is the other one.
Oh.
She's actually the brainchild of all of this.
Perfect. Let's start there. Let's start where the kernel of inspiration was. Now, tell us about Whimsy and Wonder Toys and what made you want to open a store like this?
So I have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old. And as they were coming up and growing, like trying to find these were really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. You couldn't find them anywhere local in Wausau. And so we were kind of driven to give them that creative outlet. I mean, we read to our kids consistently, you know, so of course, you know, books are a thing that we have here as well. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, last Christmas, my wife Autumn said, let's open a toy store. And at first I was like, this is crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got on board and we both work our normal jobs and we work at the store. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I've taken to learning a lot about a number of the toys that we sell, and it's been an interesting educational experience in the toy space, to say.
In the toy universe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, you go to any big box store, mm-hmm. they have those great plastic toys, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of those are injected molded ABS. They go to the landfill.
Yeah.
And that's where they stay forever, right? But you know, we're offering toys made from wood that's sustainably sourced. Our one company, they do it in multiple nations. So in order to maintain that sustainability certificate, I couldn't imagine the complexity and logistics around that. It's really awesome. I mean, we've got a lot of board games, STEM kits, educational, packets for kids, not to mention, you know, art supplies and baby toys. Like the list goes on and on.
So you sort of answered my question right there, Lee, is, you know, from the looks of it, you know, I looked at the website and it's not just eco-friendly toys. It's educational toys. It's toys that were really meant to not only enrich, but to entertain as well. I mean, what are the popular ones that are happening right now? What are people buying up at this point especially for the holiday season?
The one that actually shocked me when we first opened that we ended up selling a lot of is a puzzle by Peaceable Kingdoms. It was called Gnomes at Night. It's a 100-piece puzzle. You assemble it. It comes with this little flashlight. And the reason it comes with a flashlight is once you have it all built, it becomes a seek and find with the flashlight. And you can only – the 40 items that are hidden in it. And since then, we've added two more versions of that game. We've added the puzzle, which is Ancient Hidden City and Twilight Fairies. They're all for like 6 and up. So the kids seem to really like those, and the parents do. They're quite fun. It's not something I thought would have been popular. So it's been kind of eye-opening in that regard.
Well, that's how, like, isn't it always how it is as adults? We think, well, what are the kids going to like with this? And for some reason, they just, and it's like, oh, we can't keep them on the shelves. They're sold out. You got to come in early if you want to get one because the kids absolutely love it. And from what you're saying, it sounds like not only a great time, but like a really long lasting activity that will take them. They have to invest their time and brain power into making this, to completing this game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in along that lines, the Peaceable Kingdom line of games is actually really awesome. Mm-hmm. They're a little different from the board games. We play Monopoly and Risk, great games. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
However, these games are cooperative, right? Yeah. So you work together to beat the game.
Okay.
And you know, we listen to our community when they come in and say like, hey, there's this game we had, Space Escape. It's a really great game. Mm-hmm. We ended up buying some of them to the store to test it out. We brought in 6 copies. We took one home. I played it with my kids. Mm-hmm. Fabulous game.
Yeah.
Even fun for adults.
Nice.
The strategy is amazing. We sold out.
Oh, wow.
Within a week of having it. We've actually restocked since then, and we've actually stocked even more games. And like, I never knew that games went down. We have games of kids who are 2 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Yeah. And so they are games that you engage with your kid to build that creativity to, you know, that time you spent with your kids is huge. Mm-hmm. That has a long lasting impact on them. So yeah, I mean, I really advocate for the games, but you know, you go all into the playing, you know, if you got a kid around 3, I would say to 6, maybe up to 8, you know, the wooden dollhouses with all the different things that you can put in those dollhouses. I mean, even adults collect those, so don't get me wrong, not just a kid thing. But, and when you look at these, like the super high quality, I don't know if you've seen them on the website, you know, obviously currently we're not doing shipping. We're trying to get all of that organized because we just opened up, you know, at the beginning of November. So,
That was the thing I was going to ask too, is because, you know, we live in a world that's very dominated by online shopping. They make it very simple to click, and within a couple hours it can be at your doorstep. But it seems like, you know, people are also still looking for those local options as far as putting their dollars into the community, especially right now at Christmas. And it sounds like you guys are doing very well as far as, you know, engagement from the community. How has Wausau embraced you? As far as the store, and are people excited to see that there is this option now for them to do their shopping, especially for little ones before the holidays?
Yeah, just about everybody that comes in is super excited to have a toy store in Wausau. The last one that was ever here was like a KB toy store, to give you an idea of how long
ago
that was.
That's a reference.
Yeah, that is totally a reference. So it's been a long time, you know. And, you know, when you talk about local dollars, we also have local creators we support.
Oh, wonderful. So tell me more about
local,
that.
Yeah, we have one local creator. She's actually a friend of ours. So she makes some, like, stuffed animals. She does these felt crowns, these flowered crowns, these wands, capes, that kind of stuff, you know. And really good, you know, wholesome kind of products. Very neat. Those have been very well received. We've gone through quite a bit of the flower crowns and the wands, but yeah, it's very cool. And that, you know, that's definitely keeping the local dollars local.
Yes.
We're hoping to pull in some more. There's a lot of logistics around when we bring them in. So we had already talked to her prior opening to say, we're going to have a lot of empty space because, you know, we didn't have a loan, a business loan.
Oh wow!
It was all funded out of pocket, right? And so, because of that, we had a limited stock that we could first do.
Yeah.
So our first stock was essentially two, maybe as low as three, with some of the games, to about 8 years old, right? But we've expanded. So now we've got STEM kits that are for like 12 or older. You know, and that's just in the month and a half.
That's absolutely wonderful. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Lee Claremont, who's the co-owner, I'll say that correct, co-owner of Whimsy and Wonder Toys in Wausau. And one of the things I wanted to put people on to, because we'll put your link in the show notes, and you said right now there isn't online shopping available. You said that's something you are working on, correct?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the data that we need to do shipping didn't come over from our distributor, which is hilarious because my normal job is IT, and it super annoys me of why this happened.
Well, so, I want to put the link in there so people can be aware of you so they can just stay in touch. I mean, if you're going to be in the Wausau area, if you live in the Wausau area, of course, visit. If you're going to be there, go to the store and, you know, check out the local downtown of Wausau. It looks really, really cute. But we just want people to be aware so when it is time and you can do the shopping, they can. Now, what are you looking at into the new year? So once Christmas is done, is there anything like you want to, like, are there more games you want to get in 2026? Is there more toys? How do you see Whimsy and Wonder Toys in 2026?
Well, there's definitely going to be more games. I have a feeling we're going to attend a trade show. Mm-hmm. So one of the companies worked with to give you an idea of their business nature, the LaToy Vaughn, they make our wood toys, a lot of the wood toys that we sell. And they found out we're selling. They actually reached out to us and said, come to a trade show. Yeah. We want to meet you.
Oh, wonderful.
And they're a family owned business. Right. So, you know, it's not a big business. And, so we're definitely looking at that. You know, I think the trade show will expand kind of what we sell.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we do a lot of the fan favorites, you know, because people love the Magnetiles, right? We have those. We have the Duodots. You know, those are things kids love.
Yeah.
You know? But then we have Cuddle and Kind, where, you know, because we like things with purpose.
Yeah.
Those are handmade in Peru. And when you buy one, it gets meals for 10 kids in need.
Oh my, wait, say that one more time. So it's what, tell me that about that again. That's, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's Cuddle and Kind.
Okay.
So the company that makes them, they're actually out of the UK, and so they supply, every time they sell one of their handmade like stuffed animals, they give 10 meals to kids in need.
That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're actually all handmade ethically in Peru.
Okay. Well,
so, I mean, the quality is so good. It's like, if you take relatively good care of it, you can probably give it to your grandkids.
That is fantastic. Well, Lee, I appreciate you joining us today. And like I said, we're going to put your store in the show notes so people can find out about you and keep up. And when you get online shopping, please, please put your dollars back into local communities, to people like Lee at Whimsy and Wonder Toys. Lee, you and Autumn have a wonderful holiday. I hope you guys have a great, you know, make a lot of money, sell a lot of toys, but also just have a great holiday season. Thank you so much for joining us.
Likewise. Thank you for having us.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we want to hear from you about your shopping, what you're buying for this coming holiday here, coming up with the Christmas and Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating. Give us a call, text us, live stream comments. We're right here, Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I almost said sitting in, Calvin, because that's what I usually do when I say, because Jane Matt and Air has, as you all know, she has retired. She has put down the headphones. And yeah, we're having a great show this morning. Great. We really want to thank Blaine Halverson for being here, as well as, excuse me, as well as Lee from Whimsy and Wonder Toys, a toy store up in Wausau. Sorry, I'm looking at my prop doc here. I'm just going to let you behind the scenes here. Lee Claremont. I want to get his last name. Lee Claremont from Whimsy and Wonder Toys up in Wausau. Really, really appreciate you being here. Got some stuff on the text lines coming through. Tammy in Eau Claire discussing with regard to the data center. She said, is there a nothing to see here, quote unquote, going out with the Amazon distribution center that is coming to Dunn County? We'll be fighting about the power warehouse. It's like it's not just data centers, Calvin. It's about a lot of things. A lot of these big businesses coming up, buying huge plots of land, putting data centers, putting warehouses. And if this is something that, as we said before, concerns you, it's about getting out there and getting to those meetings, reading those agendas, and finding out what is actually happening at the local level, because that's where it affects you the most. And Don in Waukesha says, good start, guys. The balance is perfect. Really appreciate that, Don. We want to make sure that we keep the mission and the spirit of Matt and Aaron Air alive here moving forward, having great conversations, talking about the topics that affect us the most. And also, we talked about Lee and said, you know, buying those local toys, buying local, keeping the dollars in the community, because that's where it does the most good. Now, Calvin, before we got talking to Lee, you said something to the effect that you're probably just going to do gift cards for Christmas. You're going to do that. Can you keep it real simple?
Yeah, I like to be, I'm not big on giving gifts. I think you should only give gifts if you feel inspired to give a gift.
Really?
Like I feel like a gift should be inspired.
Okay. Even if it's like, if I say to you, Calvin, I could really use this thing for, you know, in the new year,
Well, I mean, asking for something is fine. But I guess there's this expectation that you get someone a gift on Christmas and you get someone a gift for their birthday, which is fine and nice, I suppose, but I don't think it should feel like an obligation.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like to be a good gift, you've had to have put thought into it. Getting something for someone that they asked for is nice and can be thoughtful.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really show that you were thinking of the person or that you really know the person.
I get that. No, I totally get that. Like my wife, she has always like a long list of gifts, and it's not like she wants all of them or expects anything. She just wants to give you variety because there's a lot of family members buying stuff. And I always want to buy off that list because I know she can use whatever it is. And a lot of times it's very functional, gift cards for gas, gift cards for, you know, getting a massage, things like that, things that really help her. But I always try to remember throughout the year, little things like when we go to a store and she goes, oh, I like that. I try to remember that so I can say, oh, you mentioned that when we were shopping that one time. And you've seen that look, Calvin, that look when you buy that. It's not so much an inspired gift, but it's when you are listening to them and you hear them speak about like, oh, there's that thing. And they would never buy it for themselves. And they kind of just, it's a one and done. They move on. But you say, oh, I'm going to get that for them. And I want to give that to them on Christmas. I see what you're saying. I would say, actually, Calvin, you had a wonderfully inspired gift last week. You showed up to Jane's last day and you brought a blanket along that you had made, your mom made for her, that was like out of nowhere. And it just sort of, that was a very inspired gift, I must say. That's very much on definition of what you're talking about.
Well, I can only take inspiration for the idea. My mom completely made the blanket. I I guess I chose the colors and asked her to make it for me. So, but yeah, I just thought I wasn't even more, I guess it was a gift, but it was more so just to commemorate the show. I tried to make it blankets. I chose colors that were similar to our branding you will see on the live stream.
Yeah, absolutely. And but that's the thing though, is you thought about that and you could have easily said, oh, yeah, whatever, or I should do that, and you don't. But you did. And that's very important. And the look on her face was wonderful. And it looked like a very comfy blanket too, might I add. But that's what we want to hear from you guys going forward today. You know, like we want to know, like, what are you buying for folks? What are those special gifts? Not, you know, a gift card is great. I'm not knocking a gift card. I'm not knocking cash. But what are those special gifts that you want to give your loved ones? Those things that just say that, you know, you're listening, that you hear them, you see them, and you know that it's going to make them smile. And it doesn't have to be a big expensive thing. It can be very small, a craft you put together. I really want to know that, because those are the gifts I love hearing about, because those are the ones that make us smile the most. So, is there anything big for you, Calvin, that you're looking for as far as Christmas? Have you asked for anything that's like, you know, a new video game or maybe a book series? That's something that you're interested in getting down with on the holidays?
You know, I have a bad habit of just buying everything I want immediately when I want it. So I don't really have that much a lot of that kind of thing. Yeah. We went to Vegas as a family in August and we got a hot tub. So those are really the big
family. What?
Yes,
went to Vegas and you bought a hot tub?
I didn't. My family did.
Okay, all right.
But those are eating up a lot of what our gifts are for Christmas, and that is awesome and appreciated. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's not really a ton that I'm looking for.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would say next year, man, those things that you want right away, just put one aside and put it on a list. That way, because moms are always saying, like, where's your list? I get that all the time from both of my mothers, mother and mother-in-law. Where's your list? And I'm the last one to always give it because I can never think of anything. But we want to hear from you. What are you shopping for this year? Are you keeping those dollars local? Are you buying local? Where are you buying from? We'd love to know that too, because we can send that information out to the world and let people know about where they can be spending those community dollars. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from the news, we are going to be speaking with Katie Goodwin from a group called MKE Grocery Buddies that seeks to help those who are being affected by the SNAP benefits cutoff. But don't go anywhere. Get yourself a snack. Get yourself some water. Stay hydrated. You are amazing and awesome. Listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.